It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
10:59 on a Monday night. Joe Giglio hanging out with you. Sports Radio 94 WIP. 888-729-949. For that's how you hop in. We have Vince Quinn behind the glass. We have Rob Cherry in the updates. And you with us on the lines. A lot to get into between now and 2 o'clock. A whole bunch of topics on the Eagles, the relocation of the Raiders, and if that ever happened in Philadelphia, what this town would do. We'll get back into all that kind of stuff. But right now we go out to Schwartz Carlton guest line. Bringing on Brandon Lee Gowton. You know him from Bleeding Green Nation. Bleeding Green Nation Radio as well. Brandon, how you doing tonight?
What's going on, Joe? One more month until the 2017 NFL Draft right here in Philadelphia.
That's right. One more month to a whole bunch of traffic and a whole bunch of craziness as a whole bunch of big people come into this town. But it should be fun, and we're looking forward to it, especially, Brandon, with the Eagles and the 14th pick. Before we get to all these rumors and draft stuff and the owners' meetings, when you're following all these mock drafts, Brandon, you look at what the Eagles might do, could do. Are you more confused now than you were a month ago, or do you feel like you have a better guess on what they're going to do now?
I feel like my opinion changes almost by the minute sometimes with this. I mean, you see these mock drafts everywhere. You see the Eagles and their needs, and you look at cornerback, and you're like, oh, well, they clearly need to draft a cornerback in the first round. They have a gaping hole there. But then you start talking yourself into, well, this is a deep cornerback class. Maybe they can get a guy later. Maybe they need to get a guy at a position in the first that isn't so deep, like defensive line. We saw a rumor come up about that last week, or maybe it's a wide receiver there. So a lot of different options, but I feel like it almost has to be one of those positions, defensive line, cornerback, or wide receiver. I think we can narrow it down to that, but then from there, there's just so many players it could be.
Well, I'll throw one more in, just because there's been a lot of smoke and you know, a lot of rumors about it. Running back. And maybe it's not a 14. Maybe you're right there. Maybe if they did like one of these backs, they would move down and try to recoup some value. But what are your thoughts on these top backs, Brandon? Let's go with Dalvin Cook. Let's go with Christian McCaffrey, guys that could be first-round picks. And I don't know what's going to happen with Joe Mixon, even though he has that talent. What's your philosophy on drafting backs relatively high?
Personally, I am not super opposed to it because I look at the run game, and I think, you know, you look at so many people talk about how it's a passing league, and obviously the Eagles feel that way. They moved up to get Carson Wentz, and they spent resources on wide receivers this offseason. But you look at teams like Dallas and, you know, these teams that run the ball, and even, hey, look at the 2013 Eagles when they had the NFL leading rusher, LeSean McCoy. That's the same year Nick Foles, who is clearly not more than a backup at this point, at least in his NFL career, that's how he had that amazing season there. You look at these teams that they're able to rely on the run, and it really helps the quarterback out. I think it would be great for the Eagles to do that if they could get a running back in here who could do that. I just don't think it's going to be likely because you look at the team's draft history, you look at Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas, and there isn't this extensive history of them drafting running backs really high on. So I just don't think it's likely to happen, even though I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah, and obviously the names this year, Brandon, are not, it's not just your typical running backs. Two of these kids, and I'm not trying to paint them all in the same picture, but two of them have major red flags off the field and even some injury issues. We throw Dalvin Cook with that, but then the Joe Mixon situation. When it comes to the Eagles, I mean, last year they did kind of start creeping towards this line, right? Jalen Mills, it's almost like no one wants to talk about it now, and I'm not saying he's a bad kid, and he didn't get in trouble at all last year here, but He had an issue or a red flag, we could say, with a similar situation coming out of LSU, probably why he fell in the draft. So the Eagles already have kind of gone down this path.
Yeah, we also saw that with Wendell Smallwood. You know, there were some issues there, and Alex McAllister. I think the key difference there being, and Howie Roseman had talked about it, obviously, you know, guys who were day three picks, guys who they felt like they could take resources that aren't super valuable, seventh round picks, kind of like that, and take chances on those players and really feeling like they have to take chances on those players because they'd given up picks in the Carson Wentz trade. So it became more important to take chances on players with character concerns. You know, when you look at Joe Mixon and someone like that, it feels like you're going to have to really pull the trigger there with potentially a second round pick. And that's when it becomes a lot more risky and a lot more potential downside if things don't go the right way.
Yeah, it would be. And it certainly would be a PR nightmare, at least in the moment when they brought that guy in. Now, before we get to the rumor that you put up, the draft rumor on Bleeding Green Nation that I was talking about a little earlier that I think is really interesting, I want to get your thoughts on Jeff Lurie's involvement. And you and I may have talked about this before, but the latest thing I saw was Jeff McClain had a little nugget in one of his pieces that this was recently, just today, I think it was, I read it, that, you know, right before the owners' meetings, that Jeff's going to talk for the first time in a while. But according to McClain, sources told him that, you know, the Eagles' push to add wide receivers was spurred on by Jeff Lurie. Maybe he didn't say, go get Jeffrey. He didn't say, go get Torrey Smith. But he made it clear they should go get weapons for Carson Wentz. They did. This is like the fourth different little thing over about a calendar year that it feels like Lurie's more involved now with football decisions or football direction than he ever has been. How do you feel about that, Brandon? Because it doesn't make me feel good.
It shouldn't make you feel good, Joe, because you don't want your owners involved in the day-to-day football decisions. That's not what they are there for. You want an owner who he comes in, he hires guys, and then he trusts those guys. And obviously he's there to be a part of the process when it's in these big-picture decisions such as hiring a coach or hiring a general manager or picking the quarterback or things like that nature. But I think the Lurie involvement, I think there's a common theme in these instances where he has stepped in. I think this has been written about too. It seems like he almost has an obsession with Carson Wentz. First and last year was about getting him, and I think Lurie was a big driving force behind that. And this year, it wasn't just about signing the wide receivers. It was also blocking the Jets from hiring the Eagles quarterback coach, John DeFilippo. So I think Lurie has this really big investment in Wentz, and I think he really wants to do everything he can to make sure the quarterback succeeds. And obviously, that's only logical, because if the quarterback's doing well, you figure the team is following suit. So I think it comes down to the Wentz thing there. But I would agree with you that, you know, you don't want to see your owner super involved in the day-to-day kind of moves.
Yeah, and look, if it was one or two things, I'd say, okay, you know, maybe that's just a coincidence. But when it's four or five over the course of a year, it feels like this is a theme that's developing here. You mentioned Wentz, Brandon, and when Howie Roseman was in this studio with Angelo Cataldi right after the season ended, he and Joe Douglas came in here, and they mentioned that they would listen to some input from Carson Wentz. Well, you have a post up on Bleeding Green Nation, maybe taking that even a step further and some input they could get. So tell us what you read. I think it was Josh Norris who you heard in that video, and this rumor out there that the Eagles might have given Carson some homework here.
Yeah, and it's funny because Josh Norris mentioned this tonight that basically said that the Eagles had given Carson Wentz a list of six or seven wide receivers that he needs to watch and then give feedback on. And it's interesting, like as you said, you know, Howie Roseman had talked about the possibility of Wentz being involved in personnel decisions or at least having some kind of input. And it's not like I think Carson Wentz is going to go up there and make the pick himself or anything, but they're clearly valuing his input here. And the other thing with that rumor is we kind of heard it a little bit earlier this offseason, and we saw Wentz working out with Chad Hansen and Cooper Kupp out in California. So it seems like these are some of the wide receivers that could possibly be on that list, if the list really exists, and which I think there might be a decent case to be made that it does. So definitely kind of want to keep an eye on some of those names, especially as the draft gets closer.
Yeah, no, we definitely will. I mean, the names that you wrote in there and the possible names, or at least the ones that he worked out with already that we had that photograph of, you know, if they draft one of those kids on day two or day three, it's all going to come right back to this, right, Brandon? This story will come back because whether it's true or not, the connection's already there. If they take those guys, it's going to be like, oh, wow, they listen to Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it's really interesting, too, because we saw, I think it's fair to assume some of the big names might be on that list, such as, you know, your first-round targets, Corey Davis, John Ross, Mike Williams. But we're also seeing some kind of more, a little bit more obscure names, like a Shelton Gibson, I believe, Josh Norris mentioned, who is a Virginia wide receiver who has, I think, averaged something like over 22 yards per catch. So I think it's clear the Eagles are looking for a deep threat. I think that's a theme in the wide receivers they're working out. I don't know how great it is that for the Eagles that this information is kind of being leaked out. I don't know. Maybe they want that. Who knows? The draft process is always crazy. There's smoke screens and everything. But, again, it's at the very least, it's interesting to see.
Oh, it is. It's something we'll keep our eye on. Brandon, last one for you. I'll throw the question we've been talking to with the audience tonight at you. So we know the Raiders are leaving Oakland now, and they're going to head to Las Vegas. And we were talking and thinking about the fan base there in Oakland and what those people do now. What would you do? And now, obviously, you write about the Eagles, so you could always do that from afar because of the magic of the internet. But what would you do if the Eagles left Philadelphia? From just say, let's just leave you as a football fan, a consumer of the sport on Sundays. Would you still follow the Eagles, or would you cast them aside and either give up on the NFL or start watching a different team?
That's a really good question, Joe. Man, it's tough. I feel like it kind of depends where they would move to. You know, if they're moving to, let's say, New York for some reason, I don't think that would happen. I don't think they need a third football team. But, I mean, I wouldn't really feel good about that at all, you know, being in, like, another team in Giants territory and Jets territory and all of that. But I don't know. I think it would depend where they moved. I feel like if they moved, at the very least, I would personally kind of become less attached. I don't know if I would, you know, totally just stop following them at all. But I feel like the passion there would have to die down. I mean, they're not in the city. It would just be weird. Oh, I think that would be a very dark time in Philadelphia if that happened.
Yeah, something that I actually had one caller earlier who thought I was serious and was really upset. So, yeah, dark time is probably putting it lightly. Brandon, always appreciate a few minutes here. Have a good one. We'll catch up soon.
Take it easy, Joe.
There he goes. Brandon Lee Gowton, BleedingGreenNation.com.